and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you...
The Arabic Arts Weekend announces dates.
Sing along to Rolf.
Junk Shop Revolution.
All coming up. News. News this week, Ian, is the Arabic Arts Weekend. They've announced the dates. What dates do we have for the Arabic Arts Weekend? This is the spectacular, fabulous... funky and dancey and musicy and all sorts of those wonderful things. Where's it taking place? What's going on? What dates?
It's on the weekend of the 17th to the 19th of July, and at various venues. Blue Coats, where they'll have mainly the literature, poetry type things. National Museums Liverpool, I think that's some of the art, visual arts events are linked up with the museums, the artifacts and so on, and those talks. And Fact, showing some films, and the Philharmonic Hall, as well as the music element. So there's all the different elements and some family fun going on at the Blue Coat, I think. So it should be a great weekend.
Are they going to do the weekend at Sefton Park Palmhouse?
I didn't see any mention of it, actually. Again, yeah, there is a website dedicated to it, arabicartsfestival.co.uk. So you have to trawl through all the details there.
Now, also in the news, we have Piazza.
Yeah, the pizza market, Piazza market, returning. These started last year on the Piazza, which is the outdoor area in front of the Metropolitan Cathedral. So it's an outdoor art and craft market. As I said, it started last year, started by the Open Culture people, which was set up by Phil Redmond as part of 2008 to get more people involved in just doing things like this. And so, yeah, that ran through the summer last year, and they are continuing it this year. So starting, the first one will be June the 21st. So it's going to be every the third Sunday of every month. So that's the 21st of June is the first one, and 19th of July, August, September. And again, as I say, it's outdoor, and they're uncovered as well. So a lot does depend on the weather. A couple of times last year, it was raining and windy and... people didn't stay long.
Yeah, so they were estimating, you know, they were going to take 5 hours, but in the end, okay, 2 hours I think is enough.
That's right, and most of that time was spent rescuing their artworks as they blew across Hope Street. Well, yeah, you've got to try, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got to try. Oh, because also, that's because there's the Piazza art markets there, but also there's been some good markets, the New Village Fake Market. How's that going at Heebie-Jeebies?
Yeah, that's every month now, the first Saturday of each month. And so there was one there this Saturday just gone at Heebie-Jeebies. That was the second one. And it's gone pretty well. It was quieter this week, but it did clash with other events like the Lord Mayor's pageant and other events going on. And the weather was bad this time, so less people came out. But yeah, it's looking good, that.
So lots more arts markets, lots more... Those kind of affairs, people selling stuff on tables and...
Yeah, there's I think it's monthly at the old police station in Lark Lane as well. I can't remember it's also a Saturday, but I can't remember which one, I think. And what else is... there is one at Daybreath Cricket Ground. So, yeah, there's a few more of them around now.
Good. Well, you'll have to be... Never mind Art in Liverpool, .com. You'll have to be doing a art market in Liverpool.com.
Ah, you read my mind.
Oh, yeah. enough piazzas and arts markets. Liverpool Shakespeare Festival. What's the news here with Liverpool Shakespeare Festival?
Yes, I think I mentioned this a week or two ago, that it is returning, despite last year's problems, as the Liverpool Shakespeare Festival again. They're doing two... things indoors this time, not in the cathedral gardens. And so they've set up a blog. Anyway, that's what the news is, that they now have a blog which you can follow to find out the latest details. They're doing Hamlet in the Concert Hall of St. George's Hall in August, and then in September, first 2 weeks of September, they're doing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at Nova CUC. So yeah, there's a website for that, and the blog is a separate website, but look out for that. I'll put the details on the blog.
On my blog. On your blog, not their blog. Okay, good. What was the problems they had last year then?
Well, they performed it in St. James Gardens, and the weather was atrocious last summer, just awful. But there was also vandalism, not only overnight when they left stuff, but even during performances there was some problems. And so various acts of vandalism and stuff being stolen and so on. So it was not very good.
So that's a terrible shame. I mean, at least you do get some characters down there, don't you, by the Liverpool Anglican Cathedral, you know.
You certainly do, yes, yeah. So it's a place to avoid, it's sometimes.
Yep, although my favourite place in the city, at good times. Now, also talking about blogs and things, but also, you know, in the news, it's the Venice Biennale in the news, and there's various different reporters from various different places have been off to the Venice Biennale, and where are we going next week, Ian?
Not the Venice Biennale.
No, not the Venice Biennale. We're not going anywhere. But we know somebody who has been to the Venice Biennale, so tell us who.
Yes, Liverpool artist Terry Duffy, who was in the Liverpool Art Prize recently, and last year he had this installation called Monuments in the old bank in Water Street, Martin's Bank, wasn't it? Which I think was then in the cathedral as well. It's a really good piece of art, and he's managed to get it into one of the places in the not in the main part of the Venice Biennale, but one of the outer parts, what they call them, palaces, not is it pavilions or palaces, anyway, somewhere in Venice. He's managed to transport his monument, so it's a huge thing, and it goes into 1,000 pieces and has to reassemble it. And but so he sent a couple of photographs, and he says it's looking good, so shame we can't make it. Oh, we did go last time.
I've never been.
You didn't, but me and Monaco went last in 2007. It'd be nice to go again, but you can't go every time. So then we've never been to the opening. It was just the last few days was the actual opening. And by all reports in the media, it was a bit quiet than usual due to the economic climate. The parties weren't quite so grand. And but the artwork looks great.
When's the next one? It's 2011.
Yeah.
2011.
And
so.
Start saving your pennies.
So, well, never mind, start saving our pennies. Are we going to get on the press junket?
Oh, we could do, yeah. We should try. Start saving your euros, I should say. Yeah.
Right, let's just write. Right, press junket. Let's make a note of that. Press junket. Venice Biennale 2011. I've never been. I must go. Anyway, that's enough nonsense, because that is the news this week. Roundup of the week. Now, rounding up the week. But before we move on to rounding up the week, and before we start talking about Rolf, sunrise. Never mind. That was last week's. But we must mention Dominic Foster, because you interviewed Dominic Foster a couple of weeks ago. You tell us, because you're the man who interviewed him.
That's right. Yes. This was the Hope University Fine Art Degree Show, and we have a Liverpool Art Prize. An Art in Liverpool Purchase Prize that we always do for the Hope University thing. We go in and we choose one of the artworks and purchase it as part of the degree thing. And so this year, it was Dominic Foster. After the awards, there's various awards as well, the Women's Hospital by Artwork and a few other awards. So after all that was done, we caught up with him and he told us about his work.
Okay, now you can listen to this, and he's you can actually hear him turning white towards the end of the interview.
Okay, would you like to just tell us a bit about this work?
I use a process called high dynamic range photography. So it's overlay HDR. 3 images. Yeah, it's HDR through overlay 3 images to get a super detailed sort of image. And I've just I think most people tend to use it for landscapes and stuff where it's naturally a very still environment. So but what I've done is I've used a tripod in all cases, so the camera's at a fixed perspective, and then just done the traditional HDR image, and then done a fourth shot to put the person in or the character, you know, and then I've used Photoshop to mask them back into the image, so I get a hyper detailed reality.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
And Is there any particular... Does it tell a story? Or is it just...
Well, they're supposed to have sort of an implied narrative that's supposed to be kind of ambiguous.
Is that by... Is that Stanley Duck or...?
Oof, sorry, I don't feel very well.
Okay. Well, there you go. You can actually hear... You can hear that there.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure it wasn't my questioning that did it. It was just... He is very good, and he got about 3 awards that night, so I think he was just a bit overwhelmed by it, but he recovered later on. He's okay.
Bowled over. That's brilliant. It's just sometimes it's just so good, you know, you're so excited about, my God, I've actually, you know, done something really good here. People really appreciate my work. It's like, whoa, that's great stuff there now. So rounding up the week, tell us, where have you been? Tell us. Ralph, let me see the hand that shook that man's hand. You're not showing me a hand. You didn't shake his hand.
No, I couldn't get near. There's too many fans around. We actually got there a bit late because we went somewhere else first. And we just got there in time. This is at Hope University again. The Cornerstone Gallery with the exhibition of Kerwin. Kerwin Gallery is 50 years old. And they're really well-known, internationally well-known company that do prints, including prints of works by Ralph Harris. And so he was there to open it. So we got there just in time for the speeches. There were speeches by the guy who actually owns Kerwin's, and then there's another guy who has just written a book all about the history of Kerwin's, which was on sale, and they were signing it. And then Ralph came on and started singing, and then everybody joined in the singing, and then he sang some more, and eventually he said a few words and about his own artwork as well, and then formally opened the exhibition. So yeah, it was very unusual to go to a gallery opening and all the audience singing In My Liverpool Home, and a bit of Lily the Pink as well, because Mike McCartney was there as he, one of his prints is in the show of Gene Vincent at the Cavern.
Sweet Gene Vincent?
Yeah, that's him. At the Cavern in 1960 something. Yes, some great works by Paul Arrigo and John Piper, John Hoyland, Ralph Harris, Mike McCartney, and quite a few others. Some really good prints as well, where it's a really good exhibition.
It sounds like a really important show for the Cornerstone Gallery to have on.
Quite a coup, really. So, but yeah, they're gaining quite a good reputation, the Cornerstone. They've had a lot of good exhibitions and getting well known around the country. And I think the guy that runs Kerwin's is actually from Merseyside, so he was pleased to be visiting the area again.
No relation to Will Kerwin, the photographer?
I don't know, possibly.
Will, if you're listening, you could well have a rich uncle out there somewhere. So get in touch with Kerwin Gallery. That's a kind of like, you know, a 5-star thing. Go along to the Kerwin Gallery show at the Cornerstone, and that runs to the 4th of September. Now, also, what have you been to? What else have you been to with this? Netsuki? What's Netsuki?
Netsuke, yes.
Netsuki, in my... that's what you've written there.
Well, it's Japanese, Netsuke. We went to a few things last week. This is just one of them. At the World Museum in Liverpool. World Museum Liverpool. This... I can't remember the chap's name. I haven't got the details here. But he was originally from Sweden, I think. But grew up in Japan. And quite a wealthy family. They own like a steel company, a Swedish steel company. And Netsuke is a small, looks like a little ornament, but it's actually a thing that you, if you wore a kimono, you'd attach to your kimono to hang things from. In the old days, it would be, I don't know, a notebook or something, but now it might be a mobile phone. So they've been around for hundreds of years, and they're just beautifully carved from different woods and things. And so it's very intricate and beautifully carved things. And they still do them now. There's this collection of over 100 of them that this guy's collected. He died, and his wife donated them to World Museum Liverpool. And so there's just a few of them on display. And so some of them are the old traditional ones, and there's also a good selection of contemporary ones as well. So, yeah, it's in the, third floor, where the all the things from different parts of the world, where the Japanese samurai armour outfits are in that area. And so they'll be changing them on a regular basis. There's just about, I don't know, 10 or 20 from the collection. So that every so often they'll change them. They somehow hook onto the belt of the kimono, and you can then attach things, maybe a fan or something like that as well, could be attached to it.
Right, I must go out and get my own Netsuke, if that's the way it's pronounced. Right, okay, well, that's sounds very interesting. Now, the Lord Mayor's, not parade, the Lord Mayor's pageant. How was the Lord Mayor's pageant? It was probably full of pomp and ceremony. You were probably there wearing probably a dapper hat and a bright outfit. How was it? You were down there celebrating with your balloons and waving things around. How was that?
I was indoors sheltering from the rain and missed it because I think partly because of the weather, it was very fast. People didn't want to hang around in that pouring rain. It started about 12 and was due to finish between 1 and half past, but I think it was they dashed around well before 1 o'clock. And we did go down, but we'd already missed it. They'd done the course and dashed off somewhere dry. So, but I believe it was good. So this year, yeah, it's a pageant rather than a parade. I think it's partly to do with the fact that there were no petrol or diesel vehicles this time because it's year of environment. So everything was on foot or pedal powered, whatever. People tell me it was good, but we missed it. But then there was other events after that organised by various people like Urban Canvas who do the street pavement art. Again, they couldn't do the pavement art because it was too wet. But there were various stores like in the Met Court and sort of around the edges of Williamson Square where they could get some cover of various artists making things from recycled materials and so on. And the theme this year seems to be participatory as well. So Minako got involved and made a nice rosette from paper, and you could make origami cranes.
Oh yeah, we're all familiar with those cranes, especially the one that sits outside, the one that's in Blade Runner. The one that's just dropped casually outside of the flat, and as she emerges, or as he emerges, it's there. He picks up the crane, and he knows that the man has been to the flat, possibly to kill him and his girlfriend. Obscure cultural reference, maybe, but the cranes, yes, origami cranes.
I'm not familiar with that one, no. It's
the director's cut.
Peter Crane. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so there's lots of little things like that, but we missed the pageant.
But more things indoors. What have you been doing indoors that weekend? If it's raining outside, you dash for cover to a cultural institution of your choice, somewhere that is extolling the virtues of art in the city.
Well, where could be better than the Blue Coat?
Where could be better indeed?
Yeah, it's all there. You've got your cafes and your beautiful garden, even when it's raining, it still looks good. And it was the Blue Coat's drawing weekend, you know, linked into the current exhibition, which is all about drawing, and so they organised a whole weekend of workshops and activities called the Drawing Weekend. So we managed to catch some of that. We saw there was on the first floor by the restaurant, there was a large sheet of paper on the wall, and people could join in again, participatory art things with Neil Keating and other local artists. So people had joined in and drawn stuff there, and there was a huge drawing on the ground floor, mostly children. It was down on the floor.
There you go.
Yeah. You want to get down on the floor, then that's for the kids, really. And other rooms, there was stuff in the sanding room and the garden room. What was that? Oh, yeah, in the garden room, it was Benedetto Tools running a sort of workshop. You could just go in and join in. It wasn't paid or anything. And people were drawing things, but they had to wear a blindfold or just put their hand in a box and you couldn't see what it was. You just like feel this thing and then try and draw it. Or paint things with brushes on enormous long sticks, just because it's different, basically. And so some great results from that. So it's all good fun.
So I'd be probably better off if I was drawing with a blindfold on. It'd be like, oh, you know, I had my hand in a box with the pencil in that hand as well. I couldn't actually see what I was doing. Or on a big long stick. It's kind of sometimes, you know, you need to free yourself up. You're better off getting a bit of motion into it like that, so it comes out much better. But you know, as it was, the words today, participatory engagement, they might be the headline for the show. But so, you know, were you did you do a bit of, you know, participating?
No, just watched. I think I can't remember doing anything anyway. Not that. But there's another drawing event I should mention called Draw the Line, which is like twice a month. And on Thursday, they were at Django's Rift, the bar, which is underneath Open Eye on Wood Street. And so I think it's the first Thursday of every month they're down there. So we did pop in to see that, and again, Minako did some drawing. Oh, I did a bit as well, a little bit, a little doodle. that looks like that's really good fun, that, because they just cover the tables in the bar with paper, and they provide pens, felt tips, and all kinds, and people just sit there and draw and drink beer and chat and listen to the loud music. Apparently, they go on to like 2 o'clock in the morning, and so by midnight, it's getting quite lively, and a bit of competition going as well, and people drawing over other people's drawings and all kinds of going on. But they're trying to keep the drawings afterwards, and maybe try and organise an exhibition at some time.
That sounds really good. It's quite a good idea. So you might get the graffiti people down there doing some good bits. You might get you down there doing a nice bit of, what's checking out the HB, what is it, a H, a 2H, or a 2B and your pencil? That sounds like a good mix of people. Again, a bit of engagement, a bit of participation. And so that is Roundup of the Week. This week, Ian, what delights behold or await the listening public?
Well, it's a relatively quiet week this week. It's got a few things. There's the Liverpool Community College graduation show.
I want to say it's the Nebula Collective.
That's it, the Nebula Collective. As I think I mentioned last week, this is another of the degree shows, except it's not really. They do a fine art foundation course. And as part of the course, they have to organise their own exhibition at somewhere outside the college. So it's a different place each year. And this year, it's the old Arena Studios building in Duke Street, which is now called Muse. So not usually much going on there, but so this is just for how long, a week or so. But it opens on this week, Tuesday the 9th of June, 6 till 9 is the viewing there, and that'll be open during the day for the rest of the week. So yeah, that's that one. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, Wolstenholme Projects. You'll have Wolstenholme Square, Thursday 11th of June, 6 till 9. This is called Dumb Objects. And don't have a lot of detail, but some really good artists. The blurb I have is that Dumb Objects brings together the work of artists who are in the business of transforming and imposing their own readings onto objects, making them say new things. So we're talking 3D works, I think, mainly. So people like Leo Fitzmaurice, Kevin Hunt, Hilary Jack, Moira Kenny, Rebecca Davey, Tamara Norwood, Susan Massey, Ian Rawlinson, Rose Smith, and Jack Welsh. So I named them all there.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking at the picture that you are showing here before us. That's certainly quite odd. But as you said, there are some really good artists there. Some really good artists there involved in the project and in that show. But also, something I've just managed to notice here now, the old Arena Studios building and the Wolstenholme Projects, aren't they Frenson's buildings?
That's right, yes. Yeah, they're sort of managed by the art organisation, who are mainly based at Mellow Mellow, which is another Frenson building. So yeah, they look after the old Arena Studios and, what was it, Wolstenholme Projects and Mimi.
And that nightclub that's down the road on the Wolstenholme Square.
Oh yeah, what's it?
Casimir,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I haven't been to any of the gigs there. They just do some weird music nights, don't they?
So there we go. For instance, property developers, property all over the city, have a little look, see if you can get some property from them yourself and have a show.
Well, you call them property developers, but more property owners, maybe. Don't see much development going on.
Yeah, I would concur with you. I wasn't going to be quite so political, Ian, but... yeah, I'd agree with you. They don't really seem to develop the property. They just seem to sit on it and wait for the prices to go up. But thankfully, the prices have been going down.
Yeah, so that means, they'll sit on them longer. So at least they're getting used by art organisations for a while anyway. That's one good thing, I suppose. But yeah, one of the other places, Mimi, which is also on our list this week, Friday. Mimi was Tito's, but the art organisation renamed it Mimi, perhaps because it's opposite Mellow Mellow. Mimi, Mellow Mellow, instead of Tito. I don't know. Sue Lucine, who many of you will know, is a local artist, has got a solo show there, only for a few days. So it just opens on Friday evening, 6 till 9. Opens on the 11th till the 13th, that's the Thursday to Saturday, but the viewing is on the Friday evening, 6 till 9. Mimi.
That's a very short show. A very short show indeed.
Degree show is Widowmet. Sorry, we're jumping around the week here, aren't we? But I'll finish what I was saying. Widowmet is also on the Friday. at the Williamson Art Gallery, Birkenhead, as it would all met. It opens on the 12th, the Friday, 6 o'clock. Again, we'll go on for a week or so. Always good, that one. Widow Met's degree show, always enjoy that one. But coming back to Thursday again, well, as a talk during the day. This is the Sound and Vision, you remember the Francesco Molina photography exhibition in the Conservation Centre. And the curator of that, Pauline Rushton, is going to give a curator's view of the exhibition.
Pauline Rushton on Thursday the 11th at 2 o'clock at the Conservation Centre. So, yeah, we've jumped around ahead. We've got ahead of ourselves and then we've jumped back here. So coming back to Friday, the next day, that's this Friday coming. Friday, 12th of June, Blue Coat Display Centre, Junk Shop Revolution. Go on, what's that?
Yes, this is the next exhibition at the Blue Coat Display Centre, which opens on Friday, 12th of June, from 5:30 to 7:30.
Is it a Year of Environment thing?
Oh, you guessed. It must be, the title gives you a hint, doesn't it? Junk Shop Revolution, Liberals Year of Environment, 2009, and also the current economic pressures. So everyone, and make, do, and mend, that's also a theme we've been going on lately. So it presents contemporary designers who have found new use for everyday objects and reclaimed materials, and whose work explores these green philosophies. Oh yes, so Michael Badger. Yeah, he's really good.
I love Michael Badger.
What group was he in? Was it the Lars? Yeah, I think it was the Lars he was in. But he does great stuff from metal, mainly. All kinds of like robots and all kinds from old metal.
Does he still do the tin cans? I love that little thing. Because he used to work at Liverpool University in the kitchens. And because they have big tin cans that they were always, you know, for whatever they were making there, you know, some big tin cans full of beans for the students. But he used to use those and the really bright and colourful things they were. And he used to have a show down at the Magnet years ago now, but there used to be that one wall where it had all of his, you know, a whole pile of different bits and pieces of his work.
Oh, right. I wondered where he got all the metals from. Yeah, the cans, yeah. It does say, actually, yeah, he sculpted some recycled brightly coloured tin containers. And found objects, so we'll have to see.
When does that start? Friday, 12th of June, and private view starts at 5:30, goes on till 7:30. Sounds very interesting to nip along to, and check out the rubbish bins as you walk through the Blue Coat courtyard. As you do so, you might be able to find something and make a wearable out of it yourself. Now, also, coming up early next week, Memoirs of a Pedestrian.
Pedestrian being, I suppose, Nathan Pendlebury. It's his solo show with Dot Art. We all know Nathan Pendlebury, surely. He's had so many exhibitions and he's so active. I even got one of his fanzines, well, not fanzine, what do you call it, zine, recently, because he's had a stall in that Heebie-Jeebies thing. He has a stall in just about every art event that's going. And the book fair that's coming up at A Foundation, I'm pretty sure he'll be there as well. So, great stuff. So it's good he's having a solo show with Dot Art. And so he does abstract painting, but he also does photography, and I think, oh, it says both. What does it say? The exhibition will include an exclusive first look at exciting new abstract work created in Merseyside, New York and Italy.
Do you think he's been the Venice Biennale?
He should be, shouldn't he? Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it's Memoirs of a Pedestrian. And that's opens on the 15th of June at Dot Art. And that is the week ahead. And what a week. Further ahead, Ian, there's not a great deal coming up. In fact, it's all pretty much over before it's even begun. So, however, further ahead, give us a little bit of enlightenment. Oh, actually, it's entanglement. Unentangle this for me, Ian.
Actually, there's loads coming up, is it? But we don't want to mention them all. We don't want to give everything away too soon. So there's a couple of things I want to mention, and one is this A Theory of Entanglement by Bernie Lubel, which is the next show at FACT, which isn't far away. It's opens on the Friday, the 19th of June, and it looks great. If you've been into FACT lately, you've seen this huge wooden structure in the atrium there, near the shop, near the bottom of the stairs, by the box, etc.
Do you have the exact geolocation of it?
It's hanging from the ceiling as well.
Wasn't this what we were talking about last week? And we were on about it knitting things. Is that what it is?
That's right. It's a giant knitting machine. Maybe it's going to knit the the curtains to go with the lovely flowery walls that you were raving about last week. I was going to say we should have chintz curtains as well. But no. Yeah, it is a giant this machine. And so, one reason I mentioned it was in my mind today because, fact, I've done a video interview of him and put it on the Fact TV, fact.tv website. And so you should look at this video and you'll see all about this particular thing. And it creates these huge installations made from their wooden sculptures, but they're mechanical devices as well, and they're people-powered. So there's no high-tech stuff at all, no computer or anything. And this machine, you can sort of sit on it and pedal it. Or there's another bit where, you know, where the sofas are in the cafe. Apparently, if you sit on one of these sofas, that switches the thing on. So it's comparing it to like the capitalist system. You can, you can be a fat capitalist sitting on a sofa, just letting your capital do the work, or you can be the labourer sitting on the thing, pedalling away, getting all hot and sweaty and doing the hard work. So anyway, it looks great. And it opens on the 19th.
With a private view on the Thursday the 18th.
Well, we need to check on that, because...
It is.
It is. Okay. Somewhere it had the same date, so I was going to check, but it should be on the Thursday the 18th, yeah.
I've checked, because I can't go. I'm somewhere else. Big Chip Awards, hopefully.
Big Chip Awards, okay.
Manchester Big Chip Awards, Digital Innovation kind of awards... Palace Theatre type thing. Anyway, yeah, that's where I'll be. So that's how I know it is that Thursday. So that should be really good. Now, also coming up further ahead, you mentioned it briefly, the book fair at the A Foundation. Now, when's the book fair at the A Foundation?
That's the weekend of the 20th and 21st of June. Yep, at the A Foundation Artist Book Fair. There'll be loads of really good artist book stalls, including Nathan Pendlebury, probably, and several others. Yeah, we did see some. I think it's on the A Foundation website. They've been sort of highlighting some of the ones that they're expecting to come along, and it looks really good. So it's a good weekend, that's it, because there's also the Piazza Market, isn't there? And what else? There's a few things that weekend, yeah.
It'll be busy. Believe you me, it's always busy in the arts and culture scene in Liverpool.
Africa, oh yeah, that's the other thing that weekend, isn't it?
It's yeah, because I keep on thinking it's sooner than that, but it is that weekend. As I said, well, it's always really busy. So that's the Art in Liverpool podcast this week. So I'll say thank you to Ian.
Thank you. We're not going to sing our way out this time.
Well, we might well have to sing our way out. Just dig ourselves out of a big hole.
No, let's not.
Okay, so for this week, Ian, thank you very much, and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.